Praise be Jesus and Mary. In today's gospel, taken from Luke chapter 11, we hear part of an exchange that happened between our Lord and some people around him after he had freed someone who was possessed by a demon. Instead of praising our Lord for the work of mercy that he had just performed, they accused him of being in league with Satan. By the power of Beelzebul, the prince of demons, he drives out demons, they said to Jesus in Luke 11:15. Since they couldn't deny or ignore that Jesus performed a miracle, they attribute it to an evil power that they said that he has. That name Beelzebul comes from two words. It comes from the word Baal and Zebul. Baal means lord or master. It was actually the name of pagan gods opposed by Elijah and other Old Testament prophets. And Zebul is a Hebrew word. It means an exalted dwelling. The prophet Elijah, when he in the Old Testament, when he was battling against the pagan gods, when he called down fire from heaven, he mocked the pagan god as Baal-Zebub, which literally means the Lord of the Flies. So the title Beelzebul is a reference of that. Baal-Zebub is basically an insulting title based off of that. But Beelzebul, used in today's gospel, is a reference to the chief demon himself, to Satan himself. And of course, that's what our Lord gets in return for performing a good deed. He gets an accusation without mercy and without foundation. All accusations which are without mercy and without foundation are satanic. Revelation 12:10, Satan himself is called the accuser of the brethren, who, quote, accuses them day and night before our God, writes St. John. If you think about it, that is quite a miserable life, isn't it? To always be accusing others of wrongdoing night and day. It's a life without love, a life without mercy. It really is a foretaste of hell. The name Satan, or Satanas in Greek, means the adversary, the opponent, the accuser. Satan accuses us of our sins. He also accuses us of lies as well, of things which aren't true. When he lies, said our Lord in the gospel, when he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies, John 8:44. So when we lie or when we accuse others without mercy or understanding, we're actually doing the work of the father of lies. We're working hand in hand, and we're walking, you could say, hand in hand with the person who hates us the most. Or to put it in communist terms, we're acting as useful idiots of the forces of evil and darkness. The charge that Jesus is casting out demons by Beelzebul is, of course, a calumny. When you calumniate someone, you injure their good name by lying. Calumny is worse than detraction, because detraction is actually revealing something about someone that's true but harmful to their reputation. So if you reveal something that's harmful to someone's reputation but it's true, it better be that you're doing it for a good motive or because it's necessary. Otherwise, it is a sin. Detraction is sinful, and calumny is doubly sinful because you add a lie on top of your merciless judgment. To accuse Jesus of casting out demons by Satan's power shows the level of hatred and resistance against him. And it reveals also the lack of sound judgment that his opponents had. Sin and sound judgment don't go together. They're incompatible. Regarding sin and sound judgment, our Lord will say later on in the same chapter of St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, he'll say that, quote, the eye is the lamp of the body. When your eye is sound, your whole body is full of light. But when it is not sound, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, he says, be careful, lest the light in you be darkness. Luke 11, verses 34 through 35. What's Jesus saying there? Well, St. Bede, commenting on these words of our Lord, says that the eye, what does it refer to? He says it refers to our thoughts and the intentions of our heart. So selfish and evil intentions lead us to blaming and accusing others of evil instead of doing what we need to do, instead of trying to correct the evil in our own hearts. St. Ambrose, for his part, says that faith is the eye or the light. So St. Ambrose, in his commentary, says, if you have the gift of faith, then you can see things from God's perspective. If you don't have faith, then you're filled with spiritual darkness. Two other ancient commentators, one named Theophylact, the other Origen, say that the eye refers to our understanding. So if our understanding is darkened by sin and vice, then our whole soul is shrouded in darkness. And what happens when our understanding and our soul and our mind are shrouded in darkness? What happens when we live in habitual sin? Well, then we will see evil and we'll call it good. And we'll see good and we will call it evil, which is exactly what Jesus' detractors did in today's gospel. And when we live in sin, we leave ourselves spiritually defenseless and more open to the activity of the devil. And since today's gospel has demonic activity, specifically demonic possession, as its theme, we'll just use the second half of the reflection here, the last few minutes, to mention the different activities of the devil. You know, last week we talked about, we had the Feast of the Archangels, we had the Feast of our Holy Guardian Angels, so we talked about the angels last week, so this week we'll give the devil his due. We'll talk about the devil as well. St. Pio once said that the number of demons active in the world, he said the number of demons active in the world is greater than all the human beings who have lived since Adam, says St. Pio. Something to reflect on. The ordinary activity of the devil, what is it? Of course, it's temptation, which happens to all of us. The extraordinary activity of the devil includes what was mentioned in today's gospel, today's reading, the demonic possession, which is when a demon or demons take control of a person's body and the person's actions are controlled by evil spirits. Some possessed people have no recollection when that happens. So when the manifestation begins, they have no recollection of what's going on. Others say it's like they feel like they're a prisoner trapped in their own body. They can't control what's going on in their own body. They know it's taking place, but they're powerless to stop it. There are four other extraordinary activities of the devil. This is all from Father Vincent Lampert, the archdiocesan exorcist in Indianapolis, who gave a retreat to us at the beginning of the year. He mentioned these. One, demonic infestation. So infestation, what's that? It's the presence of evil in a location or associated with an object. In this case, the demons torment people indirectly. For example, hearing unexplained noises or footsteps or the clattering of chains or mysterious voices or shouts or laughter or bells ringing or the disappearance of an object in one location and it shows up somewhere else, or pictures falling off of the walls or furniture moving or clothing and sheets and blankets and chairs even levitating in the air, obviously extraordinary activity. The best thing to do when there's infestation is somewhere, have the place blessed. Have a priest actually bless the location or the object with an exorcism prayer. Second type of extraordinary activity, demonic vexation. What is that? It's the action of the devil and his demons when they aim at attacking and harassing people physically. So examples would be being cut or burned or having scrapes or stings or bites or blows that even leave bruises on your body, or swelling and bleeding, fractured bones, incisions of letters on the body that appear and disappear. That's vexation. Thirdly, demonic obsession. So not possession, obsession. What is that? It's when the action of the devil or the demons aim at attacking people mentally by influencing their external and also their internal senses. As far as external senses go, what would that be like? Well, it includes visions that are meant to terrify, or enticing visions that are meant to distract someone from practicing virtue. Could be hearing things, disturbing noises, words, or chants that are obscene or blasphemous. Internal senses, internal Obsession, what is that? It could be in the imagination or in the memory. They're filled with thoughts that are, or ideas or images that are really rationally absurd. But the victim can't reject them, something you can't reject. For example, you get a thought into your head that you just can't get out, and it's an evil thought. Sometimes that could be a sign of obsession. The people who are bothered by demonic obsession can become more and more depressed and sad and desperate and spiritually, physically, emotionally drained even. Father Lampert said demonic obsession is actually the most difficult case to deal with. The most difficult one, even more so than demonic possession. And lastly, there's even what's called demonic oppression. That is when God allows someone to be tormented by the devil as an opportunity for that person to show their faithfulness in God. Example from the Old Testament, very famous, Job is an example there. In our times, St. Pio, this happened often, also St. John Vianney in our times. From what I've heard, I haven't seen the movie or read the story, but I think Emily Rose, I think her exorcism, I believe that falls under oppression as well. So demonic oppression is actually, believe it or not, it's considered a gift from God. Suffering which increases grace and virtue and merit in the soul. So there's, again, vexation, infestation, possession, obsession, oppression, VIP. O squared, that's how I remember them, VIP O squared, five different types of extraordinary demonic activity. Any priest can help with the cases of infestation or vexation or obsession. Can do that by praying in the location or praying for the person, with the person who's troubled. They can also, the person who's troubled by the devil can also use holy water and blessed salt. They can say deliverance prayers. The priest can also say some deliverance prayers too. However, cases of demonic possession need to be referred to the local bishop or the exorcist. Possession is for the exorcist and the bishop. When in doubt, what do? You talk to your parish priest and you ask him if he thinks that an exorcist should be notified if you have difficulties in this area. All that being said, we'll just conclude by reminding ourselves that our Lord does not want us to fear the devil. Jesus is the strong man who has conquered the spirits of darkness. So if our faith and our trust is in him, in the power of God and in his grace, then the devil cannot have victory over us. He can't. We'll finish with a quote from the Catechism, number 395. It says this, "The power of Satan is not infinite. He is only a creature, powerful from the fact that he is a pure spirit, but still a creature. He cannot prevent the building up of God's reign. Although Satan may act in the world out of hatred for God and his kingdom in Christ Jesus, and although his action may cause grave injuries of a spiritual nature and indirectly even of a physical nature," says the Catechism, "to each man and to society, that action is permitted by divine providence, which with strength and gentleness guides human and cosmic activity. It is a great mystery that providence should permit diabolic activity, but," and the Catechism finishes with a quote which we love to quote, St. Paul, "but we know that everything works for good for those who love God," unquote. Very famous, Romans 8:28, "all things work for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose." So focus on Jesus and Mary, not on the devil and the darkness. The place to begin, if we feel that we're up against the forces of evil, the place to begin is the confessional. Make a sincere confession, a good confession, then the devil won't have a foothold over you. May Our Lady of Victories, the Queen of the Angels, protect our minds and our hearts in our lives from the forces of darkness. Praise be Jesus and Mary. Oh,